Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. In one of the bacteriology courses I took, the professor mentioned that the difference between him and Alexander Fleming, who was knighted for discovering penicillin, was that when he looked at moldy bread, all he saw was moldy bread. And when Fleming looked at moldy bread, he saw penicillin. Traditionally, we used to think that creativity was one of those things that one was born with, kind of like intelligence. But as with intelligence, we've discovered that that's not necessarily the case. We can learn to be creative. And like learning to think logically, some of us have to work harder at it than others. What scientists have discovered is that there are definite changes in the brain when we're in a creative mood. It's what's called hypofrontality. During those periods of time, creative people dampen down the activity of our prefrontal cortex. That's the area of the brain that's most involved in thoughts and all those rules and regulations and things we need to know to get along and conform in this reality. Creativity involves being able to suspend those rules, to see an antibiotic or the potential for an antibiotic where others just see mold. Or to look at a car, or a bicycle, or even a mop, or a broom, as a collection of separate parts, each one of which could be used for something completely different. But for some of us, it's more difficult to suspend those rules. There is a certain security in them, isn't there? Of knowing things are going to stay put, that a bicycle is always going to be a bicycle. A cigar is always going to be a cigar. When we start looking at them creatively, that opens up all kinds of possibilities, and now we're not so sure anymore. We feel ill at ease. We like the structure, that reliable process. Are animals creative? I would maintain that they are. They have to be to survive. Certainly, domestic animals need to be creative to survive with us because we are a rather capricious and inconsistent species. They need to be able to take old behaviors and adapt them to new ways. But there's another place where creativity comes into play. This idea of looking at something in terms of its individual parts instead of a complete whole about which we have preconceived notions. A good place to apply creativity is the way we interact with animals, starting with the way we train them. If we look at the animal in terms of the way the animal evolves, the way the animal's brain develops, the way adult animals teach young animals, how does that match up with the way we're training them? And especially when we break down the way we're teaching them. And if we look at the way we're teaching them as a collection of unemotional parts, we might decide that some are a better fit than others, or maybe we can use this particular aspect of it in a new way. Sometimes we may decide that we're fine just where we are. Other times we might discover something completely new, something that benefits our animals as well as ourselves. But to me, the important thing is that this is yet again one of those issues, the answer to which isn't either or. Either the prefrontal cortex, logical, linear thinking, coloring inside the box, playing by the specific rules, or a creative approach that kisses all that goodbye. It's a combination of the two. The ability to be able to look at things both ways. From what I've gathered watching many, many animals over the years, animals have already figured this out. They know how to play the end game. They don't view themselves as either creative or more thoughtful, more logical, if you will. They do what needs to be done to get the job done using the least amount of energy. And perhaps it's time that we started to think about that in terms of the way we treat them too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.